This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of Ron Sedgy Today, live all across the USA and around the world. Well, my first guest this hour is a gentleman that we remember, if you're old enough, that is, going back to the late 50s and early 60s when television had so many family shows on, one of them being Donna Reed, and he played Jeff Stone on that show, Paul Peterson. He also had several rock and roll hits and toured with Dick Clark's Caravan of Stars. We're going to talk about old-time television and good time rock and roll with Paul Peterson. And then later on in the hour is a fascinating author by the name of Robert Hutchinson, who has penned the book called What Really Happened? The Lincoln Assassination. It's been 155 years since that assassination, and the world is still fascinated by it. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Sedgy Today.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
My name is Dr. Roger Bond. I've been in practice for around 30 years now. One of the products that I recommend to my patients, I highly recommend, is Balance of Nature, fruits and vegetables. Back in the early 2000s, I began to have some respiratory issues that affected my practice. It affected my family life to the point where I'd come home from work and basically just lay down on the carpet because I was so tired. As I took Balance of Nature, that began to slowly change and the energy came back and was able to enjoy time with my family. I recommend Balance of Nature to all of my patients because it's a product that works.
With three fruit and three veggie capsules, Balance of Nature provides you with all your recommended servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
America is under attack, and we need you to take action now. Our history, culture, constitution, and the American way of life are being assaulted. Violent anarchists are rioting and looting in cities across the country. They are demanding the defunding of our police and an end to law and order. There has never been a more critical time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment Foundation created the Second Amendment First Responders Program. This program seeks to actively engage Americans who want to protect our Second Amendment rights. Please text PROTECT 2A to 474747 and become a Second Amendment First Responder. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. Text PROTECT 2A to 474747. Again, text PROTECT 2A to 474747. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms. Text PROTECT 2A to 474747.
For that one. That, of course, is the theme of the Donna Reed Show that was on the air beginning on September of 1958 on ABC, and it ran for 8 years, 274 episodes, one of the classic television shows of the golden age of TV. And joining us right now, it's one of its stars, my friend Paul Peterson. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am excellent, Ron. And how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Boy, that music brings back a lot of memories.
Oh, it's like constant family movies.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. I don't know about today. I'm out of it today. But those older songs, you can picture how the show began. If it had a vocal to it, you could sing along with it. I don't know if you can do that today. And you know who said that to me? It had an impact on me. Jay Leno told me, he says, I could hum you the Tonight Show theme with Johnny Carson. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. He said, but I can't my own theme.
Isn't that something? Well, of course, the themes are very important. I once had a chance to meet the fellow who put out that album of the great classic television themes.
Yes.
And he sat in the back of the car, and he would whistle like the theme from Lassie. And we're going, oh, my God, I know that. Well, that's why they called it classic television.
Classic television.
It was quality from top to bottom.
Well, speaking about quality from top to bottom, this is pretty cool. Now, the release of Season 3 on a 4-disc DVD set. Now, for the first time, plus special bonus features of classic TV that will see things that they never saw before. Why Season 3, Paul?
Well, Season 1 came out last year, quickly followed by Season 2.
Okay, I guess that's a good enough reason.
Well, there you go. And today is the release date for Season 3. And we're very pleased that people have reached out for this. They are sitting down with their, frankly, their grandchildren and saying, this is what we grew up with. And what they are discovering is even youngsters who are looking at a black and white family sitcom are enraptured by it because it's a story they can follow. It's not too fast. There are little morals at the end of every story. And you can tell that the people on screen really like each other.
Now, let me pose this to you because I know that child celebrities sometimes run into jams. Was there a time, and I know that I think it was Max Behrer who played on the Beverly Hillbillies,
right,
that didn't even want to talk about his days on the Beverly Hillbillies, later opened up a museum. Was there a time where you said, I'm going to separate myself from the Donna Reed Show, or did you always have this great attraction to it and say, this was a part of my life that I am proud of and that I'll never forget?
Well, look, I was always proud of the work, but, you know, when the Donna Reed Show came to an end, first run, it was 1966. There were 500,000 troops in Vietnam. Everybody was protesting. The British musical invasion had occurred, and it was Timothy Leary, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, tune in, turn on, and I didn't fit anymore. And it was uncomfortable because I was busy trying to create a career as an adult. I had long since learned that as a performer, I was not going to have an opportunity to participate. So I was off doing my writing career with Simon & Schuster and Random House. And my past acted like an albatross. Not that I ever felt badly about it, but people had me in a little box, and that's what stereotyping will do. And I can't blame folks for that. Ron, I came into people's living room every Thursday night for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew, yes, they knew my name, Paul Peterson, but they still called me Jeff.
Yeah, of course. Oh,
and it wasn't until I started this foundation, A Minor Consideration, to take care of kids in show business, that people really made the switch and understood that that was a character I played, which I loved playing, and it's a goodly part of me, believe me.
Oh, sure.
As any experience between ages 12 and 20 becomes part of you. But, you know, we grow up and we move on. And I understand Max's difficulty with the character he played because it's so indelible.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know Jeffro.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is that for all the reasons that it has become difficult for child stars to proceed in a fashion that is not off to the left or off to the right, but on the straight line over a lifetime, is because part that they play so well. I mean, your role as Jeff Stone was like a real person. So
well,
consequently, your talent supersedes anything else.
Well, and that's the dilemma. You see, you know, the interesting thing, I must tell you, because I work with so many young performers and have for the last 20 years, that is troubling, is that people forget that it's the young person who learns the lines and hits the marks and creates that character that makes you laugh and cry.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the industry, now this is a generalized statement, but overall, the industry doesn't give much credit to children, no matter how talented you are.
Right, right, right.
There's something in them that they think, well, the kid doesn't know what he's doing. Nonsense. Children do, in fact, exhibit tremendous communication skills. And believe me, I'm here to tell you, you remember every day of the work that you do.
I'm sure you do. Now, let's talk about a couple of other things that happened during those years. First of all, your co-star, Shelley Fabre. Now,
yes.
Here she is co-starring with you. and Donna Reed, and then turns around and co-stars with Elvis Presley. So that's not bad company, Paul.
Oh, no. Well, Shelley did 3 movies with Elvis.
Yeah, I know that. So
they were great buddies.
Yeah, she's
engine buddies.
She's a delightful lady. But
she is.
Let's go back to your singing career for a second. You got to clear something up for me, all right?
Okay.
I remember an episode that you were singing Goodbye, Cruel World. Okay, you were driving it, and tell me if I was right. You're driving in a convertible. It was a Pontiac convertible, and you're driving, and you're singing Goodbye, Cruel World. Now, James Dearan had a hit version of that, too, and he said, I'm off to join the circus. But you sang, I was off to join the army. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. Jimmy Dearan came on the Donna Reed Show as a glittering date for Shelley Fabre.
Okay.
The songs that people remember that I did on the show are My Dad,
which
I sang to Carl Betts, my father.
Great song.
A classic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who
really
had like 70 number one records.
Yeah, sure, of course.
You know, one of the greatest duos ever.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great one. But the song, the other one that people still tease me about it is She Can't Find Her Keys.
Oh!
Which was that wonderful little novelty song, you know,
yeah.
When I take my baby home at night, I can't wait to kiss and hold her tight. But, of course, she's lost her keys.
I remember. I forgot about that song. Wow, you really are bringing back some great memories there.
Well, it's so, you know, it was such an honor to be at that time and in that place and be able to go out on the road with the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars in the company of, I mean, listen to some of the people on the bus with me. The Supremes, the Drifters. I mean, talk about, that was the time when you really did overnights, you know, the 6 shows a week.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody together on the bus, and it was great fun. I enjoyed it. I have always enjoyed performing live, and I never deluded myself that I was some sort of, you know, God's gift to singing, but I enjoy it, and I think people who watched me perform in those days understood that I was having a good time.
Paul, do you have a couple more seconds to spend with us?
Absolutely.
I have to take a break, and you touched on a subject now that is part of my heart, so let's come back, all right?
Sure.
Our guest is Paul Peterson. Of course, he played Jeff Stone on the TV show The Donna Reed Show, which premiered in 1958 and went on to 1966. And Paul Peterson and I will be right back with more with Ron Sedgy today.
She pulls out lipstick, powder, bubblegum, and bobby pins, but she can't find her keys.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We're back with Ron Sedgie today. My guest has been so nice to stay with us a little bit longer. Everybody knows Paul Peterson. Paul, of course, played the role of Jeff Stone, and that was on the Donna Reed Show. And along with being an actor, he also became a teen idol during those days. That was the thing to do, Paul, was, Ricky Nelson really introduced that. I got a television show. We got a good-looking guy. We got a vehicle to promote his records. Bam, you're singing in a studio, and before you know it, you're doing concerts.
That's right, and of course, I was really close with Ricky Nelson. He was about 5 years older, but he was one of the reasons when they asked me to perform on the show. I said, absolutely, because, Ricky was a good-looking guy,
yep.
And he had fast cars and faster women.
There's no doubt. You mentioned in the earlier segment of the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars, and, Paul, like you, I had the honor of being friends with Dick Clark, and what was even a bigger honor was that he considered me one. But boy, I tell you something, what a contribution and an asset to the music industry during the early stages of rock and roll. I mean, the man obviously was a legend and a great friend and a nice guy, and really helped these stars become stars because of the opportunities that he allowed them to have on not only television but also in his radio shows.
Yes. Component of our lives.
Yes, and the fact that he went out on the road with these Caravan of Stars, everybody only had, like you say, one or two hits, so you had to have like eight acts with you, because if you didn't, you couldn't get through a two-hour show.
That's right, and I learned some very important things being in the company of the people I mentioned. One person was Gene Pitney.
Oh, no, don't.
A wonderful man.
The best.
After the shows, I would watch Gene. I sat next to him. And he had all the business cards he acquired that day and was sending out personal notes,
yep,
to every person he met. And I said to him, why are you doing that, Gene? And he said, Paul, you have to be nice to people on the way up. And it was such a powerful lesson. But to be able to sit in a confined, bus. Now, this is all of us together, and hear Abdul from the Drifters pick,
yep,
up his guitar and start to play.
I can't imagine being on a bus for any length of time with Gene Pitney. I mean, it would be just phenomenal. This guy was a genius.
And such a professional.
Oh, yeah. What a loss.
I adored being with those people, and it was an experience unlike anything I'd ever had before, because we started off in the South. And look, we were an integrated bus in 1963, and those were difficult times. And I can remember so clearly having to defend my association with these wonderful black artists that all of us listened to.
That's right.
And subsequently, that was one of the reasons, because of the friendships I created then and cherish to this day, that I was the first white singing artist signed by Motown. It was quite an experience.
I didn't know that, really.
Yeah, they had signed Jimmy Webb as a songwriter.
Yes, of course.
And I came in right behind that. And, of course, my very first official Motown decision was to not sing his song by the time I get to Phoenix.
Oh,
That's funny. One of the things that I think people should know is that when you travel, this wasn't a traveling bus like a Prevost or the ones like Willie Nelson are in. This is like an old beat-up Greyhound. And Paul Anka told me he used to sleep on the luggage racks.
Absolutely. Well, of course, Paul could fit up
there. He could fit up there. That's right. Were you on the same tour with people like Tony Orlando and Bobby Vinton?
With Bobby Vinton, yes, and with Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
Which was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
But remember, I only had a certain hiatus window from production of the Donna Reed Show, so I couldn't go out and do the full tour. Well, here's a name that you might remember, country singer Ronnie Dove.
Oh, geez, Ronnie Dove. Yeah, big crossover artist.
Absolutely, and one of the first. To watch these people was such a privilege because I don't care whether the bus broke down or our driver quit or our motel reservations weren't set. When we put on a show, it was the best we could put on.
Now, Paul, when you were on that bus, how old were you?
Turned 18 on the first tour, then 19.
Well, you got a learning of life fast, huh?
Well, yes, but the community that was created on that bus took care of me. I was under no illusions about where I fit on the talent scale.
Mm-hmm.
I was in awe of the Supremes and the Drifters.
Oh, of course.
And watching Gene Pitney perform. But they understood that I was doing the best I could with what I had. I was a bubblegum star from a television show with almost guaranteed sales. But I got along with them, and they got along with me. Peter and Gordon were on that tour. These were professionals with skill levels that make your jaw drop.
But you see, Paul, they envied you. Joe Esposito, who was Elvis's very close friend, was telling me that when Ricky Nelson was going to meet Elvis for the first time, Elvis got excited to meet Ricky Nelson because he watched him on television before he hit it big.
Right.
These people are watching you and they're saying, man, this guy is on a huge television show. Why can't I have that kind of exposure and venue? I mean, they had to look at you that way. Do you miss singing now, Paul?
I occasionally am asked to go out there and sing. It's a pleasure for me, even though singing She Can't Find Your Keys can drive me nuts because the lyrics are so complicated. But the truth is, I still enjoy performing. I'm always delighted when someone asks. But mind you, Ron, now this is part of my life because I give far more speeches about the welfare of children, working children in our country, than I do performances.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I get the same thrill to be able to get up in front of people and either share with them some of the lessons of my life or that talent that God gave to me.
A minor consideration. Does that have a website, Paul?
Yes, indeed. www.minorcon.org. What I hope people do is treat themselves to Memory Lane by going to Virgil Films Entertainment and finding Season 3 of The Donna Reed Show.
And that's the four-disc Season 3 DVD with special bonus features of the ultimate classic television show, The Donna Reed Show. She was a beautiful lady.
Oh, she was just the best. You know, she was an Iowa farm girl, the oldest of five, who was raised not only in Iowa, but then within the MGM star system.
Yes. And
so she was two kinds of people. She was a down-to-earth woman and a major Hollywood star who'd already won the Academy Award for From Here to Eternity before I even met her.
Yeah, no, she was terrific. And I want to tell you something. This has been a treat for me. Please don't be a stranger. If you're down in the Orlando area, look us up and we can do a duet together.
Yeah, I go down there all the time. I was there for the Daytona race.
I was there too, last February?
Yeah, February, that's right.
I was there.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even see you. 400,000 people.
Right.
Well, when you do that, you have our number now. Let me know, and I'll meet you there.
Hey, you got a deal.
Okay.
All right, Ron,
and
thanks
we can
so
sing,
much for taking time.
We can sing My Dad and She Lost Her Keys.
Perfect.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Ron.
Paul Peterson has been our guest from The Donna Reed Show, Season number 3, now available. And we'll be back with more live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgie today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Here in Southern Oregon, we put our masks on before we leave the house instead of at the store because the smoke is so thick. It's difficult to breathe with so much ash in the air, and visibility is half mile or less in most places.
Smoke from Oregon's three major fires is unimaginably widespread. Its worst air quality in the world is choking the Pacific coastline, Seattle skyline to the north, San Francisco more than 800 miles to the south, and then to Los Angeles. The scenes and sickening air underscore for many that the climate is in crisis.
Scores of my friends and even USA co-anchor Jesse Edwards have lost their homes in the Alameda fire. And now the Slater fire is burning close to many other friends just to the south. This is USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6000. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
world. It is Ron Segi today. Well, if anyone's listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm a presidential buff when it comes to history of presidents throughout our entire democracy. Our next guest is a very interesting gentleman. He is an award-winning writer, speaker, and author of numerous books of popular history. Some include The Dawn of Christianity, When in Rome, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Bible. His latest effort is out right now. It's called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Comedians always, when they joke about the Lincoln assassination and they don't get a laugh from the audience, the immediate response from the comedian is, maybe it's too early. Well, apparently it's never too late to talk about this. Joining us right now is Robert Hutchinson. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
What really happened, the Lincoln assassination? This is a question that I thought, with all of my studies, we had expired everything. But in this book, you really reveal some things that maybe were supposedly common knowledge that really wasn't. So from your perspective, how did you investigate this, and what did you find different?
Well, let me just give you a little background on it. We pitched a series to Regnery called What Really Happened, and the whole idea was to do a series of books that told people in kind of a journalistic, exciting way what really happened behind some of the key events in history, and that cut through all of the speculations and the controversies and the scholarly controversies and so on, and just told the story based on the facts that we actually know. And the problem with a lot of the assassination books, especially the assassination of Kennedy but also of Lincoln, is, first of all, they're 800-page books. There's a lot of scholarly debates, you know, whether this happened or that happened. And usually there's a really strong point of view, meaning the author wants to stake out a position that's a little contrarian. For example, a lot of the writers will say, you know, the Confederacy was involved in the assassination, even though the evidence isn't strong enough to actually make that statement. So I wanted to put those sort of hypotheses and speculations aside and just stick with what we actually know, go back to the original sources, go back to the eyewitness testimony of the people that were actually there, and retell the story in as exciting a way as I can, as if you were there or just reading it right after the events, and tell people what actually happened. And that's kind of the origin of this. And I was attracted to the Lincoln assassination precisely because it seemed to resonate so much with our own time. I mean, Republicans and Democrats were fighting back then. They've been fighting ever since. The country was divided into literally red states and blue states. You know, there was a plague. Abraham Lincoln's beloved son, Willie, died of typhoid fever right after he moved into the White House. So much of the story resonates with our own time, you know, the political polarization of today. Lincoln was despised by half the country. The things the newspaper said about Lincoln seem like what they say about Trump is no big deal. So for all those reasons, I decided that the first book in the What Really Happened series would be the Lincoln assassination.
You know, it's amazing when you talk about the people that disliked him. You know, we talk about the fake news media today with the Trump administration, but, you know, he would put people in jail, journalists that weren't on his side. So he was a pretty tough cookie. But, you know, when we talk about assassinations of presidents, you know, you're right. We do concentrate on Kennedy and Lincoln. Some people may not even know there were two other presidents that were assassinated, and nothing's ever written about them.
Yes, that's true. they get short shrift, but I believe that Robert Lincoln, the president's son, was president at one of the assassination attempts.
Right.
So.
Okay, so let's go down some of these myths. All right, let's take, for example, did the Confederacy have a hand in the assassination plot, which was a conspiracy theory? When I think about this, it so correlates with the Kennedy assassination. So what's the truth on that, Richard?
Well, you know, there's evidence in both directions, and that's what's so intriguing about this. Booth was certainly aided by some Confederate couriers and sympathizers like John Surratt Jr. and Thomas Harbin and so on. He did meet with Confederate agents when he had a trip to Montreal, and he was introduced to Confederate agents in Maryland. But on the other hand, most of the time it seemed that Booth had no idea what he was doing. His various attempts to kidnap Lincoln, because that was what a lot of people don't realize, is that Booth's original plan had been to kidnap President Lincoln, whisk him off to Richmond, to the capital of the Confederacy, and then use him as a hostage to negotiate for the release of badly needed Confederate troops so that the Confederacy could continue to fight. But his attempts to actually pull off this kidnapping were so bungled and so amateurish that I would say the majority of historians who've really investigated this have decided that the Confederacy may have known about it, but they didn't have an active hand in actually plotting and trying to carry it off. So that's sort of my point of view, because basically Booth was inept. He frequently didn't even know where Lincoln was going to be. He would set up a kidnapping. He'd get his entire gang together. They were going to kidnap him on such and such day, and Lincoln didn't even show up the place where he was supposed to be. And that happened repeatedly. So he was not a field agent. He had no military training whatsoever. He had never seen a day in combat at all, even though he'd served 2 weeks with the Richmond Grays during the execution of John Brown. So I do not believe that the Confederate government was actively involved in the plot.
It's amazing they say that, because that is one of the theories that, again, reflects the research of the Kennedy assassination. And let's go back to the part where today a president can't walk in his own hallways without having 42 police officers and Secret Service around. The question becomes why it's easy for Booth to enter the president's box at Ford Theater. Now, my belief has always been twofold. First of all, he got in because he was very well known and everybody knew who he was, and certainly the last thing on the minds of the ownership of the Ford Theater was this guy's going to assassinate the president. Secondly, his guard was actually, from what I understand, not guarding the booth. He actually went to a bar next door to have some drinks, so it left John Wilkes Booth complete access to the booth that he entered and shot the president in.
Yeah, that's correct, although not entirely. There was a guard there. The guy who was supposed to be on duty was John Parker.
Right.
He was a notorious drunk. He was last seen next door, but technically he wasn't supposed to be sitting outside the hallway. That wasn't his post. Lincoln likely told him he can go watch the play somewhere else. But there was a man there who was guarding the door, so to speak. He wasn't a guard. He wasn't a policeman. He was Charles Forbes, who was Lincoln's personal assistant, I guess you'd say, kind of babysitter and all-around helper. And Booth came up to him, and he said, you know, what do you want? And Booth reached into his pocket, and he produced a calling card. We think it was a calling card of a senator, and then said, I need to speak to the president. And Forbes said, okay, let him in. In his defense, two other people had been there in the previous hour, messengers and so on. One was a journalist, and both had been allowed in without incident. So it wasn't unusual for people to do this, but somebody should have stopped Booth. There's no question. And it was a different era. President Lincoln used to ride his horse and his carriage around unguarded around Washington sometimes at late at night. The previous year, he'd had his famous hat shot off his head by a attempted assassin, and from that point on, he had a military escort wherever he went in an official capacity. Except when he went to the theater, he insisted on just having a police bodyguard, one guy, and that guy was not at his post, I guess you could say.
They also say, did he have premonitions of his own death? Didn't he dream of seeing himself in the East Room laid out?
Yeah, that was the fun part of this book, is going back and looking at the kind of the urban legends and the myths that have developed over the years. That story is in almost every single book
right.
on the assassination, and it's almost certainly not true. It was only one person who wrote 40 years after the events. He claimed that Lincoln had told him about this dream, that Lincoln supposedly had woken up in the middle of the night and thought he had gone downstairs and seen himself lying in state in a casket, and that's when he knew he was going to be killed. His wife never reported that story. His secretaries, with whom he worked every single day, never reported that story. They talked about a lot of other dreams that Lincoln had. Lincoln had lots of dreams, and he believed in paying attention to his dreams. His cabinet members had heard his dreams. No one else ever heard about that, except 40 years after the assassination, one guy, Marshall, a U.S. Marshal, claimed that Lincoln had told him this story decades earlier. So most people don't think that actually happened. And that's part of the thing about the assassination, is the story kind of grows in the telling. And what's fun when you do a book like this is to go back to the original sources, go back to the original eyewitness accounts and read what they say. usually far more interesting.
We're going to pause for a second. Our guest is Robert Hutchinson. His new book is out right now, What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's fascinating to go back. April 14th marked the anniversary of the assassination at Ford's Theater. And there's more to come with Ron Segee today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com. Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
Finding around the world, it's Ron Segee today. Our guest has been nice enough to stay with us for another segment. Robert Hutchinson is his name. He has a book out right now called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. Abraham Lincoln's final day on Earth was one of his happiest days. He had a lot of plans for the future. He took a buggy ride with his wife Mary Todd Lincoln and was all excited about the future, about the reconstruction of the country, and also plans after he got out of the office to go to Europe, which he had never done before. True or picture.
Yes, absolutely true. Actually, he was planning to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem. One of the little-known facts about Lincoln was he wasn't what you'd call a conventional Christian, but he was a daily Bible reader, and he believed in God, and he wanted to go to Palestine and see Jerusalem. And he also wanted to go to California. He thought that sounded fun. They could maybe stay out there for a while. It is absolutely true that Abraham Lincoln died a happy man. It was probably the happiest day of his life since the war began. Surrender of Lee's army had only occurred a week earlier. His son had just come back that day, his son Robert, and reported his eyewitness report of seeing the surrender. Everyone knew the war was over, effectively over. All of Washington, D.C. was celebrating. They had special, they called it the Grand Illumination. They were lighting up all the buildings at night. People were flooding into D.C., and even though it was a somber Holy Week, the end of Lent and so on, a drunken party, basically. The whole place was in a raucous mood. And everybody who met Lincoln commented on how he looked so much better. He combed his hair. He was standing up straight and smiling and so on. And he had a great time at the theater. And so he had accomplished what he had set out to do, which was to save the Union. That was his life's purpose. And he had seen it through. And he was dreaming of the future. And it was a tragedy what happened. But at least you could say that Lincoln died a happy man, having achieved what he set out to do.
How did John Wilkes Booth evade this manhunt? He did go across the bridge after the city was shut down. I don't know how he got through it. But then, you know, he was on the run for 2 weeks before he was caught. And who gave the order to shoot him, and what happened to his body?
Yeah, all very, very interesting. Actually, that's one of the most fascinating parts of the story. He knew where he was going because he had been trying to do this kidnapping plot. So he did know his basic route. He had broken his leg from the fall when he leaped onto the stage, and he got his leg fixed by Dr. Mudd and all that. And then he was planning on just trying to go for it and just try and beat the posses out of the area, but he met a very smart Confederate smuggler by the name of Thomas Jones. And we didn't find out how this happened until 20 years after the assassination. Nobody knew how he did it because he literally seemed to vanish into thin air. The Union troops, they were searching every farmhouse, every barn, every road. They didn't care about civil liberties or anything like that. They were kicking down doorways. He would have been caught instantly. But this guy said, look, your only chance is to lie down and hide in place in this pine thicket, lie on the cold, wet ground, do not start a fire, I will bring you food and newspapers, because Booth wanted to read his reviews, and just lie low until they give up and move on. And that's exactly what happened. This guy brought food every single day, and Booth just lay on the ground miserable in the cold, wet for 5 days and five nights, and eventually the Union troops heard a report that he had been seen in Virginia, and they all left. And that was when he was able to get in a rowboat, which Thomas Jones provided him, and it took him 2 days to do it, but he managed to cross the Potomac, which is a gigantic river, if people don't know that. Very difficult thing to do, but he finally got over to Virginia. The only reason he was caught was there was a false report that he had been sighted at a certain place in Virginia, and detectives heard about this in Washington, D.C., and just by coincidence, they set out with a posse to go to on this false report, but it just by accident happened to be where he actually was, and that's how they caught him.
He actually thought he was going to be a hero for this. He was shocked that the country was very up in arms after what he did. What about the accomplices? He did have accomplices. I mean, this was something designed to take out Seward and to take out the vice president. So there was other people involved. They just were unsuccessful in their job that they were given.
There were. He actually had a much bigger group. I mean, it could have been between 2 dozen up to 50 people were involved in the actual kidnapping plot. But as soon as they got wind, or began to suspect that Booth was changing his plans and might be thinking about shooting Lincoln instead of kidnapping him, all those people dropped out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a very contentious meeting at a restaurant, and when he even hinted that he might do something more extreme, they said they don't want any part of it. They had lives, they had futures, there's no way they were going to be involved in assassinating a U.S. president, and they just said, we're done, we're out of here. The only people he had left were three very desperate, impoverished men who he had promised large amounts of money. One of the reasons people thought the South might be involved was because Booth continually said there was going to be a huge payday at the end of this. He had three people left who helped him at the end, Lewis Powell and David Herold, and the only one who was a real killer was Lewis with Powell, who did try to kill Seward. George Axelrod, who was a German immigrant,
right,
he just went and got drunk. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And in the end, I must say, the federal government was fairly restrained. The only people they really executed were people who were directly involved right at the end, with the possible exception of Mary Surratt, who was also executed, and even though people asked that she not be. Only three people were really executed for this crime, except for Mary Surratt. She was also executed.
Anything that you found that you were extremely surprised to find?
The only new thing that I think that I contribute to this is that Booth had promised his mother he wouldn't get involved in the war because she was sure that he was going to get killed or something. And he was at a party in New Orleans, and he was shooting his mouth off, as he usually did, denouncing Lincoln and so on. And unbeknownst to him, there was a Union sergeant who was at this party. And the guy called him a coward to his face and said if he had these convictions, such strong convictions for the Confederacy, he should be wearing a gray uniform and have a rifle on his shoulder. And they almost got in a gunfight and almost killed each other. And the host of the party managed to break them up and everything. And that is what finally led Booth to plan the kidnapping plot. He decided he really had to do something. He couldn't just talk. I don't really see that written very much in this account. I think that's what ultimately led him to take some sort of action. It was the feeling of shame that he was just an actor talking big and hadn't done anything for the war effort at all. And he came up with this idea that he could maybe save the South by kidnapping Lincoln. And then at the end, he decided maybe by shooting Lincoln, he could save the South. He could buy enough time for the Confederacy to regroup and live to fight another day. Fortunately, that didn't happen. The end of the war occurred as planned. That was one new thing I didn't know.
Fascinating. It really is. I urge everybody to get this. If they want to know, and I always say this, in order to know what history is, you have to read it. That's the only way that you can understand what's happened in the past, how you handle the present and the future. And this book is really one that is a must read. What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. It's available right now in hardcover. And our guest has been its author, Robert Hutchinson. Robert, thank you for joining us. You are welcome here anytime, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
What is fascinating that after 155 years, we still have this massive interest in the Lincoln assassination. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
With a MECTAC carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MECTAC is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MECTAC is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com, and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck!
As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year, with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts or commitments. There is no networks. You choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $349 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty HealthShare saves me $18,000 each year compared to what I was paying for health insurance. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You could feel good knowing you're part of the community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 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 or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
Well, as they say, that's a wrap. And I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours this week. And our guests include my friend and legendary broadcaster in his 90s, Bob Barker. Also want to thank producer David Zucker and from Donna Reed Show and many hit records back in the 60s, Paul Peterson. Also want to thank author Robert Hutchinson, who has written the book called What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. We'll be looking for your company come next week when we are going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi today. Till then, I'm Ron Segi, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.